Please, if you would, turn to John chapter 1. Continue the study. Today we're looking at John, who he is, what message he is bringing. John chapter 1, we're going to start the study at verse 17 with a little review and then on to 18, but we will be reading from verse 15. So John chapter 1, verse 15. John 1, 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." This is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as saith the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. We're going to end the reading at verse 28 and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy your precious word. I thank you for the Sunday school classes and the study of your word, the preparing, and then the presentation. And as we come to hear your word proclaimed in the Sunday school classes, and now we've come up for the message, and we've had the reading of the word, we've had beautiful specials, wonderful hymns to sing, all to prepare our hearts that we may honor and glorify your precious name. I hope, dear Lord, today that there is no one here that does not know you as their personal Savior. But if there is, if there be someone here that's not saved, born again, please today that they'll call upon you and come. Trust in you. Trust in that precious offering, that sacrifice that was made upon Calvary as, Lord Jesus, you died upon the cross to save us. Please, dear Lord, that everyone will accept that free gift of salvation, that they'll have their sins forgiven. I know, Father, we live in the time of the Laodicean church, and everyone seems to be lukewarm and not hot nor cold. And dear Father, we love you. We've come to serve you and to praise you. We've come to listen to your word today that we may live our lives pleasing to you. Now, please speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at that 17th verse, and it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law of Moses could not save. It could not save. The law commanded men to live a perfect life. We can't. The law, however, was a shadow of the wonderful things that was to come, made the way for the appearing of the one who kept the law perfectly. As we said last week, that great physician who brought grace, truth, and healing to the sin-sick soul, that's our Lord Jesus. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. And he was perfect and fulfilled the law. now because of what our Lord Jesus has accomplished for us, all true believers are perfect law keepers, but only through the Lord Jesus. The law commands and demands. The law exposes and condemns sin. But the grace of God, by the grace of God, we have our sin taken away and we are pardoned. The fullness of grace and truth could only be in Christ. Revelation 3:7. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Jesus stands for grace, and he was God's grace wrapped in the flesh. Now to the 18th verse. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. This eternal Spirit, God the Father, no one, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, not a one of these prophets have seen God the Father. Now, God's appearance to man in the Old Testament, we find to be the angel of the Lord, and that we know to be none other than the Son of God, has come. It tells us in the bosom of the Father is where we find the Son. What an intimate relationship God the Father and God the Son have. It's so difficult, literally impossible, for the human mind to get around the facts of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be one yet three separate persons. But that's what our precious Word tells us, and that's what we know and believe. The Father and the Son, the Father, my Father, those key words are very important and key words to this gospel, the Gospel of John. And the Father and my Father occurs more than 100 times in this gospel. And so we see, as John brings forth our Lord Jesus, he makes the connection between God the Father and God the Son. And if you want to know God the Father, you come to know the Son, and you will know the Father. What a wonderful invitation that we have. Jesus left the bosom of his Father to do his Father's will, and then he returned back home to be with his Father. In this verse, we see the invisible God was made visible in Christ Jesus. Here is the way that grace and truth came to man, and that was through and by the Lord Jesus. It's the only way. Other men, other religions have come up with many ways, but there is only one way, and that is through and by Jesus Christ, the grace of God. Christ is the gospel. The gospel is Christ. Christ is Christianity, and to be Christ is to have fellowship with the Father. Please receive the Lord Jesus today. Have eternal life that you can live eternally with our Lord. To be saved is to be in Christ. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. John is bringing these great words of introduction to the folks of this day. But these words of introduction of the Lord Jesus, of God the Father, are still prevalent and powerful today and must be followed just as they needed to be followed in those days. We need to preach the doctrine of Christ. If anyone, whether it be preacher or teacher, declare any other doctrine, we need to ignore that doctrine, and we need to refuse fellowship with those that teach or preach another doctrine. We need to stand separated from those that deny the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If you would go back to 2 John, and as you know, there is just one chapter, 1 John, 2 John, and the 7th verse, I want you to see in 2 John, the 7th verse, and we're going to read down through verse 11. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. It's very clear. It's very clear that we need to stand on the doctrine of Jesus Christ and him alone. And John begins to present this very clearly. And now, once again, we begin in the 19th verse, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" So we're going to begin with the testimony that John has given, and it is concerning the people, the Jews, and they sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to question him. They want to know who he was. The question has been asked through time, when did this take place? And most are of the understanding that it took place after the baptism of Jesus and at the end of the 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness. You can look to Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses of that chapter. And probably this took place immediately following that is where we're at right now. When John makes a statement, the Jews, it's a very sad statement because generally he's speaking of the enemies of the Lord Jesus. The Jews are God's chosen people. And yet when they come and ask this question and John refers to them, most of the time he is referring to the enemies of the cross of Calvary. That is sad. His own people reject him. Just a couple of comments right here that I would like to share. The first, this gospel is written especially to the Gentile Christians, the ones that are scattered throughout the region, throughout the area, throughout the world. And the second is that it's believed that this gospel was written later than the others. It was written at a later time, still very much inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned by God himself. These priests and Levites, they're sent to ask John some questions. And these priests and Levites were sent by the Jews, but by a specific group, and that group was the group of the Sanhedrin. And those religious folks was the religious sect of the day. And so if anyone was to be given the opportunity to do what John is doing, it was to be approved by the Sanhedrin. And so here comes the priests and the Levites to ask these questions. And the question was, they were sent to ask concerning his authority for baptizing and carrying out his ministry. What was his place? They wanted to know who he was and by what authority he was carrying this out. You can't just show up and preach the gospel. We have that today. If you're not approved by a certain religion, a certain denomination, you cannot baptize, you can't preach, you can't do anything unless they approve you first, man's approval. Well, the only one that needs to approve you of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious word and carrying out the responsibilities of the word of God is the calling from God, not the calling and acceptance of man. But at this time, it had already taken place that the demands were that they had to be approved by man, not sent by God. So they want to know who this man was. Who gives you the authority to do what you're doing? They did, however, give a greater honor to John than they will give to Jesus. Because, you see, they knew that John's father was Zacharias. He was a priest, tribe of Levi. So they gave John a little more honor than they did the Son of God. Who did they call the Son of God? Son of a carpenter. One's the son of a priest, Zechariah. Zacharias, and the other is a carpenter's son. So the question that was coming here seemed to be not so much who John was, what are you doing? That's what they wanted to know. John was beginning to attract great crowds. People crowded around him. Mark chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that there went out unto him all the land of Judah and they of Jerusalem and were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. A lot of people were paying attention to John. The priests and the Levites didn't like it. By what authority are you doing this? Instead of being so pleased and happy that they were getting saved and turning to the coming of the Messiah, who told you you could do this? Who gave you authority to speak these words? They wanted to know. The Sanhedrin in Jerusalem decided it was time to find out more about this man, and so they sent the priests and the Levites to ask the question, "Who art thou?" And now the 20th verse. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ." We find that by the words and the expression of these words, that John was appalled that they would think he was the Messiah. Their ignorance to the Word of God allowed them to ask such a question, "Are you the Christ?" But John, again, he was appalled with such a statement. They should know that such a one could not be the Redeemer, the Christ, the King of the Jews. But John, being in the public eye of all, put him in a position of power and of authority, they believed, with the multitudes flocking around him and him baptizing, and they becoming disciples of John the Baptist. He was gaining followers. That's a problem. That's a problem. Instead of the Sanhedrin, the priests, the Levites, instead of them knowing, were reading, studying the Word of God, recognizing that this was the forerunner of Christ, which they should have known. Instead of that, instead of them looking and recognizing that, what they did was decided that he was not of them. He has not come from us. He did not even come to us to ask. Many times it happens with a person that all of a sudden becomes so very popular. John the Baptist could have accepted that calling and said, "Yes, I am the Christ. I am the Messiah." The old devil, I'm sure, wanted that. What an honor to have so many people follow me, John the Baptist could have said. We do that. You're following me instead of following Christ. John was not tempted in any way. And without any hesitation, he proclaimed, "I am not the Christ," with great boldness. The second question we find in verse 21. And they ask him, "Well then, are you Elijah?" These people didn't know the word of God, did they? Now, there was some things here that would have brought that to light. This was a good question. Based on the prophecy of Malachi 4:5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So they believed Elijah was going to come before Jesus returned. That's true. That's true. And so you see, they knew some of the Word of God. And if you would look at John's preaching, if you would look at what John was wearing, if you'd look at what John was eating, if you would look at where John was preaching, he preaching out in the wilderness. But once again, John answers, "I am not Elijah. I am not he who was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. I am not the forerunner of the one, the forerunner when he comes to reign in glory. I am the forerunner when he comes as a lamb for the slaughter, when he comes to offer his blood for the remission of our sins. That's who I am." And next, the final question of this group was, "Well then, are you that prophet?" Again, John answers, "No." You see, that prophet that they're talking about is none other than the Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy 18:5, Moses prophesied concerning that prophet, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." So you see, they knew the word of God. They wanted to know, "Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" That prophet, not just any prophet. You see, John the Baptist was a prophet. He was the final prophet. But he was not this prophet, that prophet, as Moses spoke of him, because that prophet was the Lord Jesus. I believe Elijah will come. He will return. I believe that the prophet, when the prophet comes, we know that there is the promise of the Messiah. The Messiah has come to seek and to save those that are lost. Elijah will come and I believe be one of the witnesses during the tribulation period. Well, you see, that will come before the Lord Jesus returns in his glory to plant his feet upon the earth. That's not the time. They missed the time. So the question comes in verse 22. "Who art thou?" They want to give an answer for those that have sent him. And so now we find John's response. They come asking the question, "Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" "No, no, and no," was the answer. "Here's who I am." He answered and said unto them, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us?" In verse 22, "What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." Now, if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to look at the third verse. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3. And the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John reminds them, the priests, the Levites, that they have no excuse. They should have known. They should have known who he was. They had Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah. They had the Psalms. They had the books of Moses. They had all that they needed to know that it was time. If they'd known the Scripture, they would have known. And that's going to be the stand for the lost in this age of the Laodicean church that we live in today. If they'd have known the Word of God, they wouldn't have been lost. If they'd have known the Word of God, they would have been prepared. There's no excuse. John is saying today, the words of Isaiah are being fulfilled. He says, I am that voice. So he tells them exactly who he is. I am the one. Crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet, I am he. I've not come to draw attention to myself, John says. I have come to prepare the way of the Lord. I've come to announce the arrival of the Messiah. My mission is making ready a people that are dwelling in the wilderness of darkness. The question could be asked, why did they not, did John the Baptist not go right to the temple in Jerusalem? Why did he begin his preaching in the wilderness? It's because God knew that the people were in the wilderness. Not literally, but spiritually, they are in the wilderness of darkness, of sin, of unbelief. And it's again, when John the Baptist makes mention of the Jews, he's speaking of the enemy. And so he's coming to bring the gospel to them. But he finds him in the wilderness. John cried in the wilderness. And that's where the Jews are found. Israel had become a nation of legalists. Keep the law and do this and do this and do this. And that's what they were taught to do. And that's what they found themselves and yet hellbound because of it. God refuses to recognize their formalism. And he refuses to recognize them as his people. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So we get a little better description. Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither the gospel? Did they listen? Did they listen? I said who I wasn't, and I said who I was. But that wasn't good enough for them. They should have known that when he quoted Isaiah to them, the one that's the forerunner, the Messiah must be here. Our Savior must be here, if not now, soon. Instead of that, he says, now, back to the original question, who has given you authority to do what you're doing? You're not the Christ, you're not Elijah, and you're not the prophet. So now, whose authority? You see, they don't care that this man was sent from God to be the forerunner, to introduce the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. To smooth the road, to prepare the way. They don't care. Doesn't that sound like the world today? The world today doesn't care. The world today is so self-centered upon their own problems and their own thinking. You know, you can see today that man has no love, man has no compassion, man is just so self-indulged with everything that he wants and has. And if he doesn't possess it, I want to possess it, and I'll do whatever it takes to get it. We find that in the churches today, and we found that in the temple of the day in Jerusalem, the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin were so self-righteous that they refused to recognize who this man was, even when he told them who he was. So, you're not the Christ, you're not Elijah, you're not the prophet. Why baptizest thou then? Why are you doing what you're doing? And then John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. When visitors would come to the house, that was something that was done as an honor to the visitor. And he says, I'm not even worthy to be a servant to do that. I'm not capable of doing that. Do you realize who is here? And he didn't say he's coming. He said he is here. He is here. And if you'll notice in the verse 29, that's where we're going to start next week. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So you see, Jesus is on the scene, and he is the one presenting it. And the only thing that these people care about, and that is, I want to see your credentials. Have you come to the temple and been licensed to do what you're doing? I want to know. Who sent you? John said, told you. I told you who sent me. I told you what my job is. Missed it completely, didn't they? And so is the world today. The world today is missing Jesus. The religious crowd of that day did. The world didn't care. Today the world doesn't care, and the religious crowd has went another way. We're in the last days. We're in the last days. Seeing all that is going on around the world today, we're in the last days. Be ready to meet the Lord Jesus. You got to know him as your Savior. Meet him in the air. What a joy, what an exciting thought to think that I'm not going to have to face death. He's going to come and take me away. And he'll take you too, if you know him as your Savior. Meet him in the air. What a glorious day that's going to be. Instead of these folks, he is the one that's ushering in the Savior. Instead of that, they come right back to that question. Now, who gave you the authority to do what you're doing? Who gave your authority, that authority? Questions always ask, you know, why? How can you preach? You've got to go through school. You've got to do all these things in order to proclaim the Word of God. You'll be called of God. That's what you need. John was called, and Jesus was there. I hope you know Jesus, and I hope you're ready for him. Because you come back next week, and we're going to find, behold, the Lamb of God is present, is there. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and and proclaim your word and hear your precious word. And look to the way it was 2,000 years ago when John the Baptist come on the scene as the forerunner, as the one proclaiming that you are here. He prepared the way. He preached the gospel. He prepared the world that the Savior would be known when he comes onto the scene. And the religious crowd of the day couldn't get past the point that he didn't come to ask if he could do what he's doing. The religious crowd couldn't get past the point that he didn't ask, he didn't have the proper permits and licensing to do what he's doing. Today is very similar to that. Today the world is so busy with self and self-righteousness and so conceited that they do not see a need for you, Lord Jesus. Father, they don't see a need for your Son, even though the debt has been paid. The price is the awful price that need to be paid is complete. He's paid in full. He did it on the cross of Calvary. Dear Father, please that you will just guide and lead each and every one of us, first to the cross, and then for service. Our time is very limited. Let us be witnesses to preach your precious gospel. Thank you, dear Father, for the day. Thank you for your word. And please speak to hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.